Thank you, Kyle, for praying for us. Hey, I'm glad that you're here today. I know that the days following Thanksgiving can be hectic, and maybe you traveled for Thanksgiving, and it's really easy when you get back on Saturday to go, you know what, I think I'll just stay home, and I think I'll just skip church this morning. But I believe that God honors us when we gather together, that he does something special among us. So thank you for being here. And I know that when you got here, and right now as you look around, I know that you have noticed something. I know exactly what you're thinking. You're looking around going, yes, Sean apparently does own a long sleeve shirt, and it's the time of year where he puts one on. Now, as you look around, I'm sure that you noticed that it's decorated for Christmas. And so would you join me in thanking the Connect team and the volunteers who came up here and decorated the property? They did a great job, so thank you again for doing that. We are starting a new series of lessons today, and it starts the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So we just got past Thanksgiving. I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. I think we talked a little bit about it last week. It is one of my favorite days of the year. But what I like equally as much is the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday. Right? Anybody in here who's like a Black Friday fan? Okay, me, okay, I'm alone. That's fine. It's one of the best days of the year in my mind because it's one of those days where you can find sales on just about anything. And I don't know about you, but for me, the year leading up, like all the days in the year leading up to Black Friday, I have this mentality. If I want something or if I need something, I got to buy it, but it's not urgent. I think to myself, can this wait until Black Friday? You ever had that thought before? You know, if the answer is yes, then I wait. And so what that we didn't have Tupperware for 8 months? We saved $7 on the 24-pack on Black Friday. That's what I think. You ever do that in your mind? And maybe you're like me, you know, I think I can score a deal on whatever it is that I want on Black Friday. And if something breaks in our house, especially if it's something expensive like an appliance, I ask myself, can we survive without this until Black Friday? You know, honey, we can wash the clothes by hand for the next 4 months. It's going to be okay. That's how I think. For the 11 months leading up to Black Friday, I am looking forward to it. And more than that, when something breaks or when I need something, I long for Black Friday. I just want it to be here. I wish that this day was Black Friday whenever I have something to break or whenever I need something. I long for Black Friday. Today starts the season of Advent. And that is more than just the Christmas season. It's the season where we look back to Jesus, his first coming at Christmas, and then we look forward to his second coming in the future. And what we are going to do for the next few weeks is we are going to explore the Bible text behind some of the most cherished and beloved Christmas songs. You know, some of these Christmas songs that have been around for a long, long time. In the church, we call these Christmas hymns. And the songs like that, these hymns, these Christmas hymns, they are based on a part of the Bible, a few verses in the Bible. And so what we are going to do is we are going to study those passages leading up to Christmas. And this morning we are looking at Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. And those verses are the foundation for the song that we just sang, O Come, Emmanuel. So as we study this text this morning, we will see what we are longing for. We'll see three things that we are longing for. So let's start with the first thing we're longing for. It is number one, we long for God to come. We long for God to come. I love my nieces and nephews. I have 13 of them, and each one is unique and fun in their own way. And being around all of them is exciting. And by exciting, I mean extremely stressful because there are a lot of them. I love being around them. But you know what I don't love? I don't love when they are coming into town. And you might think, Sean, you heartless, sad excuse of an uncle, how could you even say something like that? Well, okay, well, listen to what I mean. I like when they are here, but I don't like when they are coming here. And the reason that I don't like when they are coming here is because it feels like for the 3 weeks leading up to when they get here, all I hear is 10 days until our cousins are here. 9 days until our cousins are here, 8 days, and my kids just can't stop talking about it. They're excited about their cousins being here. For 3 weeks, I have to hear about it. On an unrelated note, noise-canceling headphones are a great gift for that parent in your life that has young children. But my kids are longing for their cousins to come. They want them to be here. The people of Judah, we're in a tough spot, and we're waiting for God to come. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were God's people. And the Israelites, most of them, had decided that they were going to betray God, that they didn't want to be God's people anymore. Most of the Israelites had decided that. But there was this group within the Israelites that wanted to stay faithful at least a little longer to God. And those were the people of Judah. So when you see Judah in the Bible, it's talking about these people from this tribe within Israel called Judah. They were trying to follow God, at least some of them were. And we find these people in a really hard situation, the people of Judah, in Isaiah chapter 7. They have enemies all around them that are waiting for the right moment to break into their settlements, to break into their cities and destroy things and kill a lot of them. They're waiting to devastate them. They had all of these enemies around that were threatening. And they were waiting, the people of Judah were waiting for God. God told their king, a guy named Ahaz, that he needed to trust in God. King Ahaz of Judah needed to trust that God was going to come. He promised him that he would. God said to the king, "Don't worry, I am coming. And I know it looks bad right now. I know it looks like there is no hope for you right now, but listen to me, I am coming soon. Just wait on me, I am coming." King Ahaz, though, was really scared. He's really nervous. He's really shaken by the threat of all of these enemies that are around him. And so to ease his heart and his mind, to reassure him, look what God does in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10. "Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, 'Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. It can be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven.'" So God says to Ahaz, "I am coming to help you. Now let me give you a sign so you know that I am coming. And you can ask whatever you want. You can decide the sign that you will receive. And this sign will be proof that I keep my word. It will be proof that I am coming to you." The king and the people of Judah longed for God to come to them in the midst of this hard situation that they were facing. They longed for God to come and change things. In this one story, this movie, there's a teenage boy who is witnessing something terrible. He is watching as this person that is a close friend to him, this person who's like a hero to him, this person that he loves, he is watching as this person is being beaten right in front of him. He's being beaten by creatures that are far more powerful than him. And as this teenage boy watches this happen, his heart is breaking because these creatures are relentless. They will not stop. They just keep beating and beating and beating on this teenage boy's friend. And his heart is broken because he knows he is powerless to help. And it is getting so bad that it looks like they will kill this guy that they are beating, that they are attacking. This boy is watching, and he's almost on the verge of tears because he knows he can do nothing to help. And if he intervened, he would be killed himself. But he has hope. He knows that his dad can defeat these creatures. He knows that his dad is powerful enough to end what is going on. And he knows that his dad is coming. So as he is watching this and as his heart is breaking, he keeps saying, "It's all right. My dad is coming. And when he gets here, he will change things. My dad is coming." That story does end well. Someone shows up and puts an end to those creatures, and the boy's friend is okay. He makes complete recovery. But the boy longed for his dad to come and change things. I wonder if you feel that way today. I wonder if you look at your life, You look at the world and you long for God to come because you know that if God comes here, that he will change things, that things will be different. Maybe you see people who are absolutely divided from their neighbors, or cancer and other diseases that are ravaging people you love. Families are falling apart. People are struggling with addiction. Violence is on the rise. Natural disasters are destroying homes and lives. Injustice seems to be reigning and it seems to go unpunished. People are losing hope. Children are growing up without parents. Human trafficking is still happening. There is hatred between different groups of people. Marriages are breaking down. You see all of these things and it breaks your heart because you know it's not supposed to be this way. And as you see these things, you have hope and you long for God to come because you know that for a fact in your heart, if God comes, when Jesus comes back, he will change things. He will fix things. And so you long for God to come. And that's why we sing this song, O come, Emmanuel, because all of us long for God to come. So that's the first thing that we long for. We long for God to come. But it's not the only thing that we long for. We long for number two, God to dwell. That's number two, God to dwell. So Thanksgiving has come and gone. I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving. Maybe you spent Thanksgiving with your family. Maybe your family came down from wherever they were to spend Thanksgiving with you. And you were so happy that they could come down here for a few days. But after a few days, you were ready for them to, you know, be on their way. Now, don't raise your hand if you feel that way, especially if your family is here with you. But sometimes you can feel that way, right? You're like, hey, I'm glad that you are here, but it's about that time, isn't it? The truth is that there are some people that you want to come, but you don't want them to dwell necessarily. You don't want them to stay. You don't want them to hang around. You want them to come and then be on their way after a little while. But then there are some people that you don't want them to just come here. You want them to hang around. You want them to stay. You want them to dwell. I have three family members that I absolutely love that have passed away. And I think about all three of them often. One of my grandfathers was a pastor. He was the wisest person I've ever known in my life. And I'll tell you, there are times where I'm going through something. I just wish my grandfather was here. I just wish that I could sit down and listen to him. I just wish that he was here with me because I know that if he was here, that he would be able to calm me down. He would be able to talk me through whatever it is that I'm going through. He would be able to help me. You see, I wouldn't just want my grandfather to come here. I would want him to stay. I would want him to dwell. Judah's problems, the problems that the people of Judah were facing, they weren't going to be solved if God just came and went. No, they needed God to dwell. What happened over and over with God's people in the Old Testament, in the first half of the Bible, is that they would know what God wanted them to do. They would know God's rules. They would even memorize some of them. But eventually, they would decide, we're not going to follow those rules. They would start living for themselves instead of for God. They would start trusting themselves instead of God. And eventually, God would allow one of their enemies to come in and to start to dominate them, to oppress them, to rule over them, and it would be bad. But after a while, God would come and rescue his people from their enemy. And he would set them on the right track again. He would remind them how they are supposed to be living. And they would do it for a little while. And then they would decide to live for themselves again. And the cycle would just repeat over and over again. What the people needed was not for God to just come. They needed God to dwell. They needed God to be with them so that they could constantly hear from him, so that they could lean on him, so that they could listen to him, so they could trust him. They needed God to dwell. They longed for God to dwell. So listen to what happens with Ahaz, the king of Israel, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 12. If you have your Bible still open, let's look at it together. But Ahaz replied, I will not ask. I will not test the Lord. Isaiah said, listen, house of David, is it not enough for you to try the patience of men? Will you also try the patience of my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. God is going to give the king a sign. And the sign will be that this virgin will conceive, will have a son, and name him Emmanuel. This is absolutely miraculous. A virgin can't conceive, or else that girl would not be a virgin. Now, we're not going to get into the details of that, not the time, not the place, but what we want to focus on is the name of that boy, Emmanuel. Now, that's a name that we're probably not super familiar with. It's a Hebrew name. It comes from the Hebrew language, which the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible, is originally written in. And Emmanuel is made up of three smaller words. The first is Im, I-M, which means with. And then there is nu, N-U, which means us. And you add an A in there to make it flow better, so it becomes Emmanu, which means with us. And then the last little word that helps make up this one big word is El, which is a short way of saying God. So you put all of those three little words together, you have Emmanuel, which means God with us. And what God is saying that the king needs, what he is saying that the people of Judah need, is for God to be with them. They need God to dwell with them. And it's not just what they needed, it's what they longed for. Because they knew that if God dwelled with them, they would be safe and secure. They knew that if God dwelled with them, that they would know what God wants, that they would listen to him, they would worship him. So they longed for God to dwell with them. Especially with all of these enemies who were bigger and stronger around them, they longed for God to dwell with them. Think of the biggest, baddest, strongest, most intimidating bodyguard you could think of. Maybe it's like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Maybe it's like, I don't know, Hulk Hogan. Whoever comes to your mind. Would you feel safe if that person was around you all the time? They were watching you, if they were keeping you safe. Would you feel that? Of course you would. That is a tiny taste of what it would have been like for Israel to have God dwelling with them. They longed for God to dwell with them. And it's not just Judah, the people of Judah, that were longing for God to dwell with them. It is us. We long for God to dwell with us. Because a lot of times we feel alone. A lot of times we feel helpless. A lot of times we feel surrounded by the enemy. And if we just had God with us, then we would feel safe and secure. That's what we long for, God to be with us. And we should long for that. Because we know that he can keep us safe from war, from disease, from hurricanes, from anxiety, from betrayal, from heartbreak, from loneliness. You long for God to dwell with you. I long for God to dwell with me. The world longs for God to dwell with us. Because if he dwells with us, things will be different. Things will be right. Things will be perfect. And so we sing this song, O come, Emmanuel. Because we long for God to dwell. That's the second thing that we are longing for God to dwell. And then there's one more thing that we see that we are longing for here, and is number three, we long for God to save. To have a better understanding of what these people are facing, we kind of need to know what is going on around them. And if we can understand that, then we can feel what they felt. We can long for what they long for. So what we have is Ahaz, the king of Judah, that was facing an enemy that felt completely inescapable. He had several enemies around them. They were intimidating. They were threatening. So to the north and to the east, he had enemies. One was the country of Aram. Also, it's called Syria in the Bible. And then there was that was to the north and the east, and then there was also to the north and east a country called Israel, which was the wicked cousins of Judah. So they were bearing down on them. And then to the west, they had these enemies called Philistia. And all around them, they had the bully on the block, a country named Babylon. Now, I hope you took notes. You will be quizzed on this later. I know that's a lot, but here's what you need to hear. They had enemies all around them, and they were threatening them. Israel and Aram, these two countries, were pressuring Ahaz, the king of Judah, to join them in a coup against Babylon. Babylon was the bully. But here's the thing. God said, hey, don't join Israel and Aram. I don't want you to do that. Instead, I want you to trust in me and listen to me. Still, these two countries, Aram and Israel, were threatening the king. They were saying, hey, you can either do this, you can join us, or we will send an assassin in to kill you and then put another king in your place who will listen to us, who will be with us. God said, listen, Ahaz, trust me. It's going to be okay. I am here. I will save you. But he was worried about his life. And so he said, you know what? I think that maybe if I go to Babylon and I tell Babylon about this coup that these two other countries are planning, that maybe then Babylon will be like, hey, you're my new teacher's pet. Since you did the right thing, I'm going to protect you for free. The problem with that was that God said, don't trust Babylon. Instead, the only person that you should trust is me. That's what God told the king of Judah. He said, I am trustworthy. I will save you. This king was wondering, who is going to save us? If it's not going to be Babylon, the bully, the strongest one, who will save us? God says, me. I will save you. I know that you need it. I know that it is desperate right now. I know that you have enemies that are bigger and stronger and more numerous than you. I know you feel helpless against them, but I will save you. And that's what they longed for. They longed for God to save them. So look one more time at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. Is it possible or impossible for a virgin to conceive and have a son and call him Emmanuel? It's impossible. A virgin can't conceive, or else that girl would not be a virgin. Now, people back then knew this was completely impossible. And if they saw this happen, they would know that it was a miracle. Now, here's why God did this. Because at this time, these people of Judah, they felt helpless. They felt that the only person that could save them was Babylon. And if Babylon was not going to save them, then it was impossible for them to survive. It was impossible for anyone else to help them. Things looked impossible for the people of Judah. So, God gave them a sign. He gave them a sign of something that was impossible, a virgin conceiving and having a son. And it is as if God is saying, look, I know it seems impossible that you will survive, but I make the impossible happen. I am God. You think it's impossible for someone to save you? Well, I am the God of the impossible, and I will save you. Which is exactly what they longed for. They longed for God to save. The longer you live, the more you realize that you have things in your life, things in this world, that you cannot save yourself from. In fact, it feels impossible for you to be saved from certain things in life. And so you long for God to save you. Isn't that you? Don't you long for God to save you? Don't you long for him to save you from suffering? Maybe you suffer from chronic pain. Maybe you suffer from a disease. Or maybe you're suffering from a broken heart. And you long for God to save you from it. Or maybe you long for God to save you from guilt. You feel guilty for things that you have done weeks ago, months ago, years ago, decades ago. And you want to be free from that guilt. Or maybe you long for God to save you from brokenness. Things that you have done in the past or things that have been done to you make you feel broken beyond repair. Or maybe you long to be saved from loneliness. The loss of family members, the loss of close friends has left you feeling alone and you just don't want to feel it anymore. Or maybe you long for God to save you from fear. You look around, you don't know what tomorrow holds, and it feels like things are getting worse, and so you have fear. Or maybe you long for God to save you from sin. There's a sin in your life, a sin that you can't shake, and you long to be saved from its grip. We feel helpless against these things. We feel trapped and ruled by them. So just like Judah, we long for God to save us. I mentioned before that I have a lot of nieces and nephews. We got together one time to celebrate a holiday, and as you can imagine, it was absolute chaos. There were a ton of us that got together. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Home Alone, but imagine the first scene, you know, where they're all in the house together, and people are screaming, they're chasing each other, they're running around everywhere. That's pretty much what it was like when my family got together for this holiday. You kind of half expected someone in my family to just go, "Kevin!" But that didn't happen. It was chaos. And when that's going on, when you have all of these people together, especially all these little kids, it can be hard to hear people in conversation. It can be hard to hear when someone is talking to you. And it is especially hard to hear if you are inside with all the kids and everyone's screaming and someone is outside calling you. So in the middle of all the madness, someone rings the doorbell. My brother goes over and he opens the door, and there's a lady who looks very disturbed at the door, very concerned. And so my brother's like, "Hey, can I help you?" And she says, "Yeah, I live like catty corner behind you, and I just came over to make sure everything's okay." And my brother's like, "Yeah, everything's fine." And she responds with, "Are you sure? Because I could hear someone screaming, 'Help me, help me, please, please, someone help me.' And it sounded like it was coming from the backyard." And so my brother says, "Oh, well, thank you for coming by and checking. I'll go look." So he shuts the door and he goes out into the backyard, and he finds one of the boys out there, 4 or 5 years old, who had climbed up into this kid swing and then kind of buckled himself in. And as he was playing, the poor kid flipped himself over, and he was out there just flailing like a fish, screaming, "Help me, help me, please, please, someone help me." So my brother finds him, and he flips him back over, and he gets him out of the swing. And once he regained consciousness, he asked him, no, I'm just kidding, that part didn't happen. But he asked him, "What happened?" And the little boy said, "Well, I was out here by myself, and I accidentally flipped myself over, and I couldn't get out, and so I was screaming, and I was just waiting for someone to come save me because I couldn't save myself." Do you see? He longed for someone to save him. As we live in a broken world, as we live in a place where evil is still all around us, as we struggle against sin, we realize that we need someone to save us. We long for someone to save us. And so we sing this song, O come, Emmanuel, because we long for God to save. That's the third and final thing that we see that we are longing for. As we go through this Advent season, this season of longing, let's remember these three things that we are longing for. We long for God to come, to dwell, and to save. With Christmas approaching, with the day where we celebrate Jesus' first coming approaching, let's also long for his second coming. And let's sing together, O come, Emmanuel. Let's long for Jesus to come back. Because friends, the very center of this season is our Lord and Savior Jesus. We need to stay focused on him as we approach Christmas. And as we think about his first coming, as we long for his second coming, let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, our Savior. You see, you were created by God to be in a relationship with him. But you, just like me, have denied God. You have sinned against him and broken this relationship with him. We have separated ourselves from him through our sin. And you know what we long for now? We long for God to come. We long for him to fix our relationship with him. But talking about Jesus' birth, Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." That's talking about Jesus. What this tells us is in his incarnation, when Jesus added humanity to his divinity, God came to us. And God didn't just come to us. Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus lived with humanity. He showed us what God is truly like. He died to pay for our sin. And through his death, our sin is forgiven by God. But Jesus didn't stay dead. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he rose up from the grave. And eventually, he ascended back into heaven. And he sent the Holy Spirit to live in his people. And now, listen to me, now God dwells in us. God is with us because Jesus died, rose from the grave, ascended into heaven, and sent the Holy Spirit to live in us. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus saved us from our sin. And he promised that one day he will return to set all things right, to make everything perfect, to destroy sin and death, to save us from every bad thing. In Jesus, our longing for God to come, dwell, and save is fulfilled. So let's look to Jesus this Advent season, the one that we long for. Let's long for his second coming. If you've never trusted in Jesus, then you are still longing for a relationship with God. You have sinned against him just like I have. And there is nothing that you can do to fulfill this longing. There is nothing that you can do to make your relationship with God right. But in Jesus, you can be forgiven. So come now to God and say, I know I am a sinner, but forgive me based on who Jesus is and what he has done for my forgiveness. And if you believe that in your heart, your sin will be forgiven and you will be saved by God. And God will dwell in you. So if you would like to do that today, if you would like to put your faith in Jesus, if you know that I am talking to you, then as we sing this last song, I'm going to be standing right down here. I'm going to be waiting for you. Don't resist the work of God in your heart right now. Come, let's talk about what it means to follow Jesus. And then as everybody else is leaving after the service, I'm going to be waiting right down here for you. Come, let's talk about what it means to receive forgiveness in Jesus. But do not leave here without trusting in him and finding salvation in him. Christian, as you face the busyness of this Christmas season, as all of your plans come together and are realized, keep your eyes on Jesus. Rejoice that he has come to save us from our sin and long for his second coming when he will set all things right. So to help you stay focused on Jesus through this Advent season, we have something that we want to give you. It is a little devotional. It's like one page, maybe two pages that you read every day leading up to Christmas. And it will help you see the glory of Jesus. It will help you stay focused on Jesus this season. So as you leave, you can find them in the back. There's a green one. There's a red one. I ask that you take one of them. If you already have the green one, take the red one. Take one, and we ask that you take one per family. So, you know, share it with your spouse so we can have enough for everyone. But take one and read it every day so that your heart may be fixed on Jesus this Advent season. And as you focus on him, long for him to come again. So I'm going to pray, and we are going to sing praises to our Savior, whose birth we celebrate and whose return we long for in this season. So pray with me, and then we will sing together. Father, thank you that hope has come. Thank you that you have come to us, that you dwell with us, that you are saving us. We long for those things to be absolutely completed, Lord. We long for Jesus to come back. And so I pray this Advent season, as there are so many things that try to steal our attention, so many things that are trying to distract us, I pray, Lord, that we'd keep our eyes focused on Jesus, our Savior. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone out in here right now who has not trusted in Jesus, that you would grab a hold of their heart. They would see their need for salvation and the hope that can be found only in Jesus. Let them respond to your grace this morning, Lord. Keep our eyes fixed on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.